On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, a podcast brought to you by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Carrier Management, Insurance Journal, and other fine publications. And today, I'm pleased to have a first-time guest with us, although the company certainly isn't first-time. Harrison Brooks, welcome.
Thanks. Great to be here, Peter.
Oh, yeah. Harrison is a partner with Reagan Consulting. We've been following Reagan for, actually, Harrison, since, I think, 93. I was at a news conference when the Best Practices Program was first announced by none other than Bobby Reagan himself, and at a Big Eye conference in San Francisco, actually. And so that's how long I've been aware of you guys. It's been a while.
Yeah, that is. That has been a while. We've been doing the best practice study for a long time, so it's definitely a great publication.
Well, yeah, and I wanted to check in with you because I heard you speak at another Big Eye meeting, a Trusted Choice meeting, I think, a while back. You were talking about just some trends and sales and different things. You also recently published a piece on your quarterly organic growth and profitability, or OGP survey, which tracks agents and brokers, their organic growth and other metrics. And also we wanted to cover on this podcast just how you see things playing out with the pandemic and its impact on agency valuations, on M&A, and other financial kind of repercussions from this really unique event on the agents and brokers out there.
Definitely a timely topic for sure, as firms are kind of looking towards the rest of the year, thinking, you know, what's coming in terms of the growth pipeline and everything else in the wake of COVID, for sure.
Yeah, well, so when you looked at the numbers for the first quarter, and I'm assuming the second quarter numbers will be out relatively soon, but for now we're looking at the first quarter, and maybe you've got some other insight into what's occurred since March 31 when that quarter ended. What kinds of things are you seeing in terms of agency revenue growth? What producers are worried about? What they're working on? Like, what? Just help us tee up some of this with some of your general observations, at least first.
Sure. So we do a quarterly that organic growth and profitability publication, Peter. I think you referenced that. So I'll be speaking towards a lot of the numbers that are in that report. But that report we publish on a quarterly basis. It's probably got around 170 agencies across the U.S. In that we really try to track the two main drivers of value for agencies, and that's growth and profitability, bottom line profitability. And so in that survey, we look at not just top line, you know, growth for the agency as a whole, but also for commercial benefits and personal lines, and track the trends in each. And, you know, this past quarter was, we were off to a screaming start to 2020. 6.6% organic growth for the first quarter, which is a record for the OGP study. It was mainly driven by commercial lines, which grew at 8.4%. Personal lines grew at 2.8%, and group benefits, you know, at a pretty impressive 5.8%. So, you know, if you can think back, it feels like an eternity ago, but before the world kind of went crazy, before COVID, everything was good. You know, stock market was high. Everything was, agency valuations were at all-time highs. M&A valuation was at all-time highs. Debt was cheap. Interest rates were low. You know, what's going to slow this thing down? And COVID hit in the first quarter in March. I mean, I think that's really when, you know, we started to really feel the effects. That's when, you know, agencies were starting to tell their employees to work from home. And so we can definitely dig into those numbers, and you know that. But that's a first quarter kind of snapshot. But what's really more interesting is how the rest of the year is gonna play out. So you know, a strong first quarter could not have come at a better time to kind of bolster agencies' balance sheets and financials. In terms of what is going to happen for the rest of the year. So, but definitely a strong start to the year for the first quarter numbers.
Okay, so how will the first quarter, which I guess if you think about March being kind of a half month, given what had occurred, because most people were shutting down, you know, March 12, 15 at the latest, starting to go home, is Have you heard even anecdotally what agents have been dealing with in that scenario, like how selling changes? How do you hire new producers? I know you guys are really big on onboarding, training, mentoring, you know, new producers to kind of build agency value.
Absolutely. I mean, we fundamentally hold to the belief that, you know, to build a strong fundamental agency, you have to continue to recruit and develop talent. As much as it's fun to talk about technology, it's still a people business, and insurance is sold by people. And so you have to bring in, you know, new young talent, both on the sales and the service side. And so, March, you know, call it mid-March hits, COVID hits, and, you know, firms were extremely bullish in terms of hiring expectations for 2020, and you, all of a sudden you have to completely, you know, put everyone from a working at home environment. I would say though, Peter, that the response I saw was extremely encouraging across just our client base and the agency universe in the U.S. as a whole. I think a lot of firms adapted really quickly. You know, probably some had been toying with the work from home environment for a while, maybe a few employees, and you know, the system was definitely pressure tested. Some were a little better prepared than others, but I think the biggest thing as you think about kind of how the year is going to finish and how do you bring on new talent, it's how do you generate new business opportunities. So, you know, what happens is everyone goes home mid-March, and they've got strong pipelines. Well, those producers, it's hard to get in front of new clients. And so a lot of the agencies you work with were just basically, you know, working down the pipelines that they had already built from a new business perspective. And then, you know, some got more creative in terms of, you know, how do they serve clients and genuinely be an advisor and a strong consultant to those companies that are really struggling through the pandemic. And so, you know, I think as, you know, in terms of, you know, new business production, it hasn't been easy, but we have heard a lot of really cool anecdotal wins of firms start to finish soliciting a client using technologies like Zoom or Microsoft Teams or, you know, a variety of different types of technologies, and they've actually found themselves to be more efficient. But it's definitely changing the game, and it's hard. You know, new business production is hard, and that's going to ultimately, when we look back on 2020, is going to be the great separator between those firms that did really well and finished strong and those firms that really fell short from their expectations. Because, you know, if you're going to grow, you have to write new business in this industry, even though we're all benefiting from a little bit of rate and pricing increases in our current marketplace, you still have to be producing new business.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get at next is it seems like there was this period of time where agents were able to, like you said, work down their prospects. And now what do we do? Well, our clients have questions about work comp claims and business interruption claims and a restaurant's going out of business. Do I keep my coverage? Do I drop certain ancillary coverages? You know, so agents, it seemed like from what I was reading, are predicting revenue drops starting in the second quarter as all this comes home to roost.
Sure.
Do you feel, I mean, what's your gut telling you on this, the longer term revenue impact for the quarters ahead here? I mean, I know the quarter one was great, but what are you thinking?
Yeah, so I mean, your mind immediately goes to, I mean, it could be a pretty draconian situation, right? Like it could be pretty rough for the rest of the year, and it could be. But what we're seeing is a lot of firms are figuring out how to operate in the current environment. So I think where we, you know, originally, you know, firms, when we asked this question, it's really interesting. We asked at the beginning of 2000, in Q4 2019, we said, hey, based on everything you know at this point, where do you think 2020 is going to finish? You know, where do you think your organic growth is going to finish for the year? And really interesting, you know, firms said, you know, and this is pre-COVID, they thought they would grow at 7%. Well, post-COVID, once it hits, we go back out, and you know, this is keep in mind, you know, this is after COVID has hit. This is in the midst of all the chaos as we look back on that now, when there's so much unknown and the stock market's dropping and everything else is occurring in our world, and everything seems to be falling apart. And we asked that question, and you know, in our quarterly growth and profitability survey, and agents and brokers indicated that they thought they would finish the year at 4% positive growth. Now, that's a little bit shocking. You know, how do you get there? Well, you know, a lot of that is the pricing that agents are benefiting from strong contingencies in the first quarter. And so they're really, you know, riding that wave. But others have figured out how to sell through it. So I think what you're going to see is, when we look back on this, and, you know, if there's one thing that I'm guaranteed to be, that's probably wrong, right? Anytime you're predicting the future. But but when we really look at this, I think you're going to see a pretty tough, I think Q2 is going to be fine. You know, that's going to be wrapping up here. You know, when our listeners are listening to this podcast, it will have been finished. But I think that'll be, you know, it'll be fair, the results, because like I said, people are working off of their pipelines, benefiting from some rate and exposures. But what you're going to see is a pretty tough, I think, Q3, Q4, Q1, Q2 of 2021. And then we're going to kind of come out of that, hopefully, you know, begin to come out of that kind of Q3, Q4, if we can, you know, if we can recover, you know, just from a general economy perspective. And so, you know, I think, you know, that to me is, I think if I was betting, I would say 4% is probably, you know, a really strong case in terms of where we would finish. But I do not think that we're going to see negative growth on the year for agents and brokers. I just don't think it's going to happen in the current rate environment that we're in. So it couldn't have come at a better time. But again, it all depends on what's the mix and make of the business, right? So what end markets are you in? You know, we have really been working with clients on, what's your book look like? You know, what SIC codes do you serve? What industry niches do you have? And, you know, if there's an agency that focuses on, you know, restaurants, obviously they're listening to this podcast, and it's a totally different situation for them. And then some that are in other lines of business that, you know, this has been a really prosperous time for them. So it really depends on the niches that you're in. But on the whole, the numbers that I'm speaking to from a general perspective, you know, I think we'll see something in the neighborhood of probably 2-4%, you know, growth for the full year.
Okay. Yeah, like restaurants has certainly been tough. But like all these people working at home, they're looking at their backyards and saying, I want to put a pool in. I'm going to pick that tree down. I need to do some landscaping and hardscaping. So those contractors are doing really well, as opposed to, unfortunately, the restaurant owners.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's, you know, it's certain industries are booming right now, for sure. There's no question about that.
Well, Harrison, how do you feel about the M&A landscape? I know you guys are very involved. I don't know. Are you buyer side or seller side, or both? I'm not really sure. I should know this.
Yeah, so we do both. Okay. We advise clients both if when they're looking to acquire another agency, or if they want to sell their agency, we help them do both.
Okay. Well, how is that being impacted right now? Because it was really, really screaming hot for years, the M&A market. I mean, agencies were a good target. You know, they're a good business, and many of them are run fairly well, and it's, you know, pricing has been good, and like you said, interest rates low, and all that was driving a lot of interest from outsiders and insiders buying retail agents and brokers. But what about now?
Very timely question. You know, in terms of the overall M&A marketplace in the world in general, I mean, we're hitting it's extremely low levels of M&A activity. But, you know, there's a big but there, that there is a lot of money in the private equity kind of space that needs to be put to work. And so, you know, valuations of agencies for good quality agencies that have strong fundamentals, you know, these are businesses that have really strong recurring cash flows. They have low capital expenditures, and, you know, they're pretty recession resistant. We, you know, if you look back to 2008, 2009 during the Great Recession, I mean, our industry declined to 2% growth. And so, I mean, if you're thinking about a good place to park your money with all the volatility in the stock market and the public markets and everything else in different industries, insurance is a fantastic safe haven. And if you bet on the right business or you acquire the right business, buy or sell side, you know, it can be extremely prosperous, you know, coming on the backside of, you know, the recovery. And so, you know, demand, you know, there's certain buyers that have pulled out of the market, that have said, you know what, we need to focus on our business right now. And some of those buyers are ones that have taken on a lot of debt and have a lot of leverage on their balance sheet. And so you can imagine that they're just trying to make sure that they service their debt right now and take care of their own house as opposed to adding more things to it. And there's others that are well capitalized. You know, they're in a good position, and they're taking advantage of the opportunity and are even more aggressive and saying, hey, we're open for business. And so what we've typically seen in the valuation landscape is, you know, for mergers and acquisitions is values are still there, the same levels they've been, but buyers are going to take a harder look at the assets that they're buying and do even more due diligence than they previously have done and really look at the book, try to do the exact thing, Peter, that we're doing today, is to talk about, well, what's the next 6 months going to look like? What's the next year going to look like? And so that and that's what we encourage our clients to do, is they're looking at acquisitions, is to take a hard look at the business. But if the fundamentals are strong and the people, like I said, this is a people business, and if the people are the right people, then they're the right people. And so it's, you know, deal structures have been tweaked a little bit in some cases, in terms of like how much cash do you get up front versus delayed, and all that's negotiated. But for the most part, the M&A market is holding. I'd say that activity level is a little bit lower than it was pre-COVID. You know, for good quality assets, though, the demand is still very high.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you seeing any changes in either speeding up or slowing down, maybe some of the principals who are a little bit longer in the tooth who may have delayed or not their succession plans? Is it like a kind of a mixed bag? Because I can see a scenario where the pandemic, the crisis, because it's so far-reaching, would have the agency owners say, we better bail sooner than we thought, or maybe even having them to delay a decision to sell, if you follow me.
Totally. It's a good question, and it really depends on the agency and the principals, but I think it's really hard to say, hey, my business is on fire and I'm going to punch out and sell. Any buyer, any educated agency is going to see that. They're going to understand that. So, you know, a fire sale situation is never a place you want to be in. That's what we always counsel our clients is, you know, if you believe in your business, if you're having a temporary dip, that's okay. You know, wait. You know, you've worked your whole life to build this asset. You know, why would you, you know, sell it at a artificially low value? And then there are others that, you know, now is the right time. You know, there's some uncertainty. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty in our world. We've got a presidential election coming up. You've got that brings into question, you know, tax rates and legislative environment and everything else that goes into that. And so, you know, I think if you see, if history is an indicator of the past, anytime we have a presidential election or there is any kind of change to that, you know, legislative environment, that can spur M&A activity in a calendar year, you know, for people wanting to make sure that they capitalize on their assets under what's kind of known and knowable as of this time. But, you know, I think it's on a case-by-case basis, but, you know, if you're building, I think the key thing is to focus on building a strong, fundamentally solid agency. And if that, you know, and it really just depends on your personal situation. But definitely some people are going to market to say, you know what, now's the right time. I should enter into that conversation. It's not just about price either. A lot of it is about, hey, are we better together? Are we better together than on our own? And so, you know, a lot of our clients are seeing this as an opportunity to pick up, you know, some smaller firms and to acquire them and to help them. I mean, they can put really incentivized growth-based structures in place, and, you know, it can be a win for both parties as opposed to trying to fight this storm on your own. You know, join a larger team, get some resources, you know, you can still remain independent with another firm that acquires you. So it's a mixed bag across the board.
Yeah. So the prices in PNC are, I think this is, are we in a hard market or going into a hard market, Harrison, this year, or is it just particular lines of business?
Yeah, I think we're heading that way. I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, I was looking at, you know, just commercial lines premium pricing increase. This is by the Council of Insurance Agents and Brokers put this out in after right after Q1, and it increased 9.6%, which is the highest quarterly rate increase since Q1 2003. So there's been 10 straight quarters of premium pricing increasing. So yeah, I think you could definitely say that, you know, we're seeing that, and that's what's driving, you know, the current growth that we're seeing. So you know, PNC always lags overall GDP, and so, you know, that's why you can tell as GDP has taken a hit, so will commercial lines growth rates. But you know, yeah, firms are definitely benefiting from pricing increases. I think right now a lot of it's across the board, even in personal lines. I mean, you're seeing that as well.
And what about benefits? I think the first quarter of your OGP study showed some good growth there. Any sense of how that's going to be impacted in the mess we're in right now?
Yeah, so that's the first line that's going to get hit. If you think about it, it reacts the quickest. So, you know, delayed, I mean, some of this is mandated, some's not, but delayed premiums, you know, so clients can actually insurers can notify carriers and delay paying their premiums for 30 or 60 days with really no recourse and have coverage still be extended. And so you're seeing that in some of these agencies that they're not canceling the policy, you know, but the cash flow timing can be different. And so it's really almost like they have a receivable that's sitting on their balance sheet that they know they're going to collect, but it's a delay. And so, you know, a lot of focus is on the small benefit space right now. I mean, these are the restaurants that we're talking about, you know, the smaller mom and pop shops, local retail stores. I mean, this is stuff that's getting, you know, people are, you know, laying off in some cases employees. A lot of people have to, you know, elected to furlough employees, so benefits can still remain in place. But, you know, this is where you're seeing the impact. So if you think about it, it's, you know, benefits gets hit first, then, you know, and then shortly thereafter, you know, PNC comes. But yeah, we're definitely seeing that right now. But it will also be the quickest to rebound too, you know, as firms, you know, get back to work and, you know, increase their headcount.
Okay. So any other predictions or observations from what you guys see for the remainder of 2020?
Yeah, I think, you know, predictions, observations. I mean, I think that, you know, it'll be, I think we're going to look back on this time and, you know, I think the profitability of an agency could look dramatically different. The bottom line profitability, because people have seen, hey, we've been able to operate efficiently using technology. Do we really need that rental space? Do we really need to be in that office space? All of our employees are work from home. Is that the most efficient, you know, efficient use of our kind of, you know, time, energy, and effort is to be driving into the office every day? You know, how do we sell? You know, I mean, conferences, attending conferences and continuing education and, you know, meeting with clients and industry events, like how is that all going to change? And I don't think anyone really knows right now. You know, I think there's a lot of benefit to being face-to-face and sitting across the table from someone, but we're also moving in a very fast-paced world. And so, you know, I think, you know, as we think about this, those firms that learn lessons and really take a hard look at their infrastructure, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can combat some temporary revenue declines from this kind of COVID environment and rethink how you're going to grow going forward. But it doesn't change the fundamentals of investing in talent, you know, continue to bring on new producers. How do you leverage technology to sell better and prospect? And so, you know, as we look at the rest of the year, I think it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I think we're in for a little bit. I think we're in for a tough Q3 and Q4. And like I said, kind of through Q2 of 2021. But as an encouragement factor, I think firms that stay hyper-focused on new business production and not just holding on to and servicing their existing clients, but, you know, how do you plant the seeds for new business opportunities? I mean, you convert them initially, but it could be really cool to see what growth could lead from that. But I think there's going to be a pretty wide disparity, even more than there ever has been, in the remainder of this year's numbers in terms of firms, the final year growth rates. And the separator in that is going to be new business production.
Okay. Well, Harrison, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today. It's ReaganConsulting.com if anybody wants to follow up and see what that's all about. Well, it's a crazy year, crazy time. But we appreciate your observations, and hopefully the listeners out there are on the good side of that disparity, not the bad side.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Peter, it's great talking to you, and thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Artrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.